the number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loan Studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I am Tony D, taking you through the night tonight. I apologize for a little technical difficulty that we had in the last hour. I wanted to get to Twitter. Some of you have sent some tweets, and I really appreciate it, at Tony D Radio. The first one from Steven, who says, if you are cheering for LeBron to get that title for Cleveland, who do you want them facing off with from the West? I'd like to see LeBron James get a title for Cleveland. I don't necessarily need it to be this year.
Whatever you want.
Hold on one second. But I would like to see them face at least, I think I'd like them to face Oklahoma City. I think they match up better with Oklahoma City. But if I'm rooting for anything, I just want a good series. I just hope he gets it sometime. This one from B Money, who was talking about our Jose Bautista comment, the fact that he got a game and we thought that the Rangers should have attacked him early. This is a pretty good point. Dude was 5-for-28 in the series, wondering when it was coming. Last at bat, he knew it was coming. Good strategy. That is a good point. I disagree with the point, but I understand this. Basically saying, look, they made him guess. They made him worry. So because of that, he was 5-for-28, wondering when he was going to get hit for the bat flip from back in October. My only problem with it, though, is that if you're going to have these unwritten rules, I want the unwritten rules to be done with. I want the unwritten rules out of the game. Like, if I'm a fan of the game, I don't want sort of these payback things that are really just between teams affecting the game. And so that's why I'm always advocating, if you're going to do this, get it done over with. Get it over with. Make your statement and get it done. I thought that was part of the unwritten rules of baseball. That, hey, look, you get our guy, we come right back and get your guy. We don't play around with this. We don't wait till the third game of a series or the second game of a series or the fourth at-bat of a series or the second at-bat of a series, or we use it to our advantage. It's we attack, you attack, and then we're supposed to move on and play baseball. That's the way I always thought these things were. You plunk our guy, then they'll plunk your guy coming up. You tacked our third hitter, we get your third hitter. You go with our cleanup guy, we come after your cleanup guy. Not, yeah, we'll go after your cleanup guy, but maybe in a day, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. You'll never know when we want it, when we don't want it. I don't want this part of the strategery of baseball. These are childish things, but yet they're part of baseball. They're petty. And they're between those guys. They have nothing to do with fans. That's just baseball players being petty. So if you use that as part of a strategy, then what you're incorporating is, hey, all of this stuff is all in the game. And what I'm saying as a fan, I want it out of the game as quickly as possible. All right? I don't want my cleanup guy to go into a series not knowing when he's going to get plunked. That sounds kind of ridiculous. And it takes the game and takes it down a notch. So now the strategy of baseball is, well, you got to count for the payback. We don't know when that's coming. It could be coming in the seventh inning when he's got two on and nobody out. It also could be coming in the ninth inning when the team is up by seven. I just want to be like, you petty baseball players, get it over with. Get it done. Get it over with. So I agree with what you're saying. I think you make a very, very good point. He's 5-for-28 because maybe he was wondering where he was going to get hit. And that was part of it. But it also is, and I set this out, it's also a little Monday morning quarterbacking, because you can't predict that that's going to happen and use it as strategy. You can't say, well, we're going to keep this, we're going to make him guess, therefore he's going to struggle in the series. I don't know if that necessarily is a good idea.
If I'm a Rangers fan, the part that I don't like is the fact that the Rangers were up one when they did.
Yeah, that was 3-2.
So
it was 3-2 when he did this.
And especially against that offense. That offense is one of the most talented offenses in the game. Yeah, they're struggling a little bit, But as a, if I was a Rangers fan, or say if it was the White Sox, which I'm a fan of, I don't want them hitting a guy, putting the tying run on. I don't care if it's one out, two outs, zero outs. I don't care when it is. Late in the game, I'm not hitting a guy to put him on base, to put the tying run on base, and possibly lose the game. That's my thing. I'd rather take the win over having somebody punched. So I just feel like...
Yeah.
There you go.
800-777-2907. So, and again, hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. So, but then, you know, I understand the strategic point of this. Like I said, I think that if you're going to have these unwritten rules and you're going to enforce these unwritten rules, I'd like you to have some sort of standard. Get rid of them, because, again, I don't care, and most fans don't care. This is baseball pettiness. A hitter has to worry about getting hit on every pitch of his career. Yeah, yes, that's true. But at the same point, that he wasn't hit because he was being, you know, because a pitch got away from Matt Bush. He was hit because of a retaliation. The Rangers chose their spot, which was his final at bat in the series. If you're going to have these unwritten rules, then have a code that everybody lives by. You know, hockey, when hockey goons fight, there is a code to this. We're not going to punch Sidney Crosby. Well, we're going to punch one of your fourth line goons. How's that? It's sort of a code. If you're going to do this kind of thing, have a code. If you want to retaliate, this is when you're supposed to do it. Because I think baseball players also don't want to live in the world that you're suggesting they live by, which is, I don't know when I'm going to get retaliated for, therefore I'm going to worry about it every time I'm up at the plate. I think you say, no, if he doesn't do it now, they're never going to do it. And besides, I think it misses the overall point. These retaliatory things that baseball players tend to do, they really are childish. They're childish and they're petty. I'm sorry. I mean, seriously, but Bautista flips a bat in October and you strike back in May? For the love of Pete, what are we doing? That's my problem. We got to get back. Why? Well, he dissed us in May, in October. Oh, God. 7 months ago. Chill. But that's not how baseball players think. They've always been like that. I've heard more baseball players talk about this. Old baseball players talk about this. And it seems as if this code has lasted. This code has stayed true. It was like this in the 80s. It was like this in the 70s. It was like this in the, you know, there's a whole list of them. You could get nauseated going through all of the unwritten rules of baseball. All right, 800-777-2907. This next topic is a little bit, it's controversial. I wanted to get to it. I wanted to get to it last night, but I kind of wanted to wait to see where the story was going. And it involves Steven Adams of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who apologized for calling the Golden State Warriors quick little monkeys in an interview after the game. He said it was a poor choice of words. This is a pretty good apology. But again, because he's talking about the Golden State Warriors, and this is offensive to African Americans, I can't determine whether this is an effective apology or not, because it doesn't affect me. But here is what he said. It was just a poor choice of words, mate. I wasn't thinking straight. I didn't know it was going to upset anyone. I am truly sorry. It was just a poor choice of words. I'm just trying to express how difficult it was chasing those guys around. He is from New Zealand, and this is a term that he uses not in a racial way, but I wonder if this is going to be effective. He says, it's just different, mate, different words, different expressions and stuff like that, but they obviously can be taken differently depending on which country you're in. I'm assimilating, mate, still trying to figure out the boundaries, but I definitely overstepped them tonight. I think this is sincere. I think this is a sincere apology, just my overall judgment on this. I remember in the 1980s when Howard Cosell used this term to describe Alvin Garrett of the Washington Redskins in a Monday Night Football broadcast. And it was, you know, 1983, I think, is when this went down. And a lot of people wanted to attack Howard Cosell for that. But there was also a lot of defenders of Howard Cosell, because Cosell called his children that. And I remember reading his book, and he talked about this in one of the chapters. And one of the things that came out of that was how many people who were African American who didn't like Cosell, who disagreed with Cosell on many, many things, said, this man is all of these things, obnoxious, arrogant, all of these things on the radio. He is nowhere near being a racist. And that really helped kind of diffuse that issue. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, is that time for Adam's News of the Night, where we go beyond the headlines and give you what is going on in the world in kind of a weird way. Adam, what is story number one?
Story number one. Did you like The Sopranos, the show?
I did. I loved it. Yes. I loved it.
Okay, so this.
By the way, I used to have all the seasons on DVD, but now that I have HBO Go, I sold them at a yard sale. I
probably got some decent.
But I loved that show. Yeah, I did. I did. Got pretty good dough. I mean, yard sale dough. But I didn't. Right. I mean, I getting rid of them all for a buck.
Right.
But I did pretty good.
All right. Well, this has to do with that. It comes from Italy, where James Gandolfini passed away. Had a heart attack
a couple years ago.
But what happened was the EMT named Claudio Bevilacqua, something like that, I don't know, supposedly stole Gandolfini's Rolex off his wrist while he was in the ambulance. And he's now going to trial now. And like you said, this happened in June 2013. He's just to trial. So 3 years, almost to the day, almost to the month. He's going to trial. Or, I mean, it said it was a $3,000 Rolex. But how do you, as an EMT, you're supposed to have that, you know, as a public servant to not do something like this. They'd be like firefighters going into your home on a, you know, like a carbon monoxide call. And they're checking out your house and they're just pocketing stuff, throwing stuff in their jackets as they walk through. That's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. No, not
maybe,
at all.
Maybe
that's
Italy's
awful.
Different.
I hope you get
some,
you know.
Maybe the Italians are different. I don't know.
Like everything's fair game if you die. Like, I don't know. He had 200,000 in cash on him, so I took it.
That would make things more interesting, I think.
That would be. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I love The Sopranos.
Yeah,
they did some filming in Italy over there.
Such a great show.
James Gandolfini was really good.
He was. He was amazing.
Really good.
I could probably go back right now and rewatch it.
Oh, it holds up, too.
Yeah, completely.
Not a lot of shows hold up. That holds up.
Yes.
That holds up. That and The Wire, both of those hold up.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, my God, I'm sounding like Jason Whitlock now. I'm talking about I want to get into The Wire conversation. All right, story number two.
Story number two comes from Endeavor Airlines. I've never heard of that.
Endeavor Airlines. I've never heard of that. I don't fly a lot, but I've never flown that.
But anyways, this is a flight attendant who has stolen, over the past few months, 1,500 of the little mini bottles of alcohol.
I'm sensing a theme tonight. We're talking about a theft of a Rolex and now theft of mini bottles of alcohol.
And
how many bottles? 15,000?
1,500.
And what? Oh, 1,500. Okay.
She's stealing 1,500 bottles, little bottles of alcohol. She's probably got a drinking problem or something like that. No, she was selling them on eBay and Craigslist. She was trying to get anywhere from $1 to $5 per bottle.
Do people buy that stuff?
I guess so.
Is that popular? It might be. I'm not asking that facetiously. I'm actually curious if that is something people sought. Like, hey, I don't need to buy a pint of whiskey. I just really need a mini bottle of whatever it is.
I don't know.
That might be popular.
I would have to go to like Craigslist and type in like mini liquor bottles and see if a lot of people are selling.
Well, if she's selling the at $5 a pop, I mean, she's not. It's not like she's breaking the bank here. I mean, she's probably make $7,500.
Well, it says here she was indicted on charges including theft, unlawful sale of alcohol. So yeah, you probably can't.
Yeah,
this.
There you go. I totally forgot about the theft part. She actually took something that didn't belong to her. I'm sitting there. She's only making about $8,000. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. No, she is stealing from her place of employment.
And she also was charged with unauthorized transportation of alcohol.
Oh my God, she's got a whole little underground business going on.
So she's
like a
here we go. Endeavor Air is a regional affiliate of Delta Airlines.
Oh, okay. So it's where you know, maybe hop a puddle jumper, that kind of thing.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Right. Wow, 1,500 bottles of alcohol. Well, it just adds up, right? You just put a couple in your pocket, and then you flag it. You put a couple more in your pocket.
Maybe she was just forgetting. She was, like, putting them in there for customers and then just forgetting and walking off the plane.
It's like Johnny Depp in Blow. Remember when he was trying to get the marijuana? He goes, they don't check their bags. The stewardesses. They don't check their bags. Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know. This is like in The Office when you take pens. And like, you're not supposed to take pens, but everybody's got 500 pens at The Office at home.
There's a full cup of pens here. And
they're all gone.
Yeah, every few weeks, all the pens are gone, and then we have to wait to get them all filled back up.
Yeah, people always joke at the bank. They're like, why are the pens tied down, man? You afraid somebody's going to steal them? Yeah. Yes, we are afraid somebody's going to steal them. 100%. People take pens all the time.
All the time.
We just don't have the time or the resources to stock 100 pens a day here at the bank because you people want to take them home with you.
That's why I always get, like, when I'll buy a pack of pens and I'll put them in, like, my backpack that I bring to work. I get the crappiest pens I can find because I'm one who always leaves them everywhere.
Yeah, they're gone. They are gone. All right, story number three.
Story number three, to keep with our theme of the night.
Yeah, this is good.
Severance, Colorado. You know where that is?
All right, yes, I do.
Okay. A lady who was babysitting, she's 28, she was babysitting two kids, went to the bank. What did she do? She wrote a little note saying that there's a man in my car threatening to hurt my children unless you give me money.
Oh, my God.
So she sent it.
She got this out of a movie. Yeah. She got this out of a movie.
Sounds like it. She sent it through the tube. It went to the teller. The teller immediately, like let her boss know what was going on, and they decided to send $500 just to play it safe for the kids, just in case, and they also called the police. And, well, it ended up that she was just messing around and, not messing around, but there was no man in the car. It was her trying to rob the bank.
But was she using one of those safety man dummies?
Maybe, like,
this... Well, yeah, who is the guy, George Glass from the Brady Bunch?
Yes, George Glass.
George Glass was kidnapping my children while I'm trying to get money from the bank. How do you get yourself out of that? Like, when they sit down and they go, all right, so tell us about this man. I can't. I don't have a man. I was just broke. I needed money. I robbed the bank.
And here's the best part of this. She didn't write a number that she wanted. But in her head, she was thinking she'd get somewhere around $15,000 back.
Oh, my God. She really thought somebody would send a $15,000. If she don't specify, you're probably going to get $500, and then they're going to figure out they're going to call the cops or try to get you out of that situation.
Exactly. So now she has to pay the $500 back,
which
she probably doesn't really have to pay.
Yeah, no kidding.
But the best part of it, so the $15,000 she wanted was to pay her part of a restitution in a forgery and felony theft case that she had in another part of Colorado.
Wonderful. So wonderful.
She's one of those, you know, criminals that just likes to commit another crime to pay for the first crime.
Yeah. She's robbing Peter to pay Paul because she robbed Paul, so she's robbing to pay the guy she robbed.
Exactly.
In other words, goodness gracious.
What I'm noticing in my stories over, you know, we've been doing this now for close to a month. There's a lot of dumb people in this world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We stumbled upon some pretty good ones, and most of them are a man in Florida, XXX.
Yes.
Thanks to the people who helped us out with that.
And now I do check that Reddit site a lot.
You're right.
I saved it. My thing is
that these are so good that I actually, when I prepare for the show, I have stories, and sometimes I don't pick them because I think you're going to pick them, and you do pick them.
Yeah,
This would be a great news of the night segment. All right, 800-777-2907. You want to get involved in the conversation tonight? We're talking a lot of NBA. We're going to get to the night in Major League Baseball. As we talk the suspensions, let's get to the stuff on the field. We'll break it all down next. I'm Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All All right, every night at this time, we go around Major League Baseball just to get you caught up on what went on in MLB. Is we don't want the season to get away from you. That's what basically we do here. The Cleveland Indians over Cincinnati, 13-1. No home runs in this game. I also like to bring up home runs because that's my favorite stat of the night. But the Indians did out-hit the Reds 17-5. Freddy Gonzalez got fired by the Atlanta Braves early Tuesday, and a guy by the name of Brian Snitzer is now the manager of the Braves. I guess he was called up from their Gwinnett minor league team. Anyway, they go into the game without Freddy Gonzalez, and the Pirates score 7 runs in the first inning, and they go on to win against Atlanta 12-9. So instead of being 9-28, the Braves are now 9-29. So the Pirates rout them at PNC Park. The Philadelphia Phillies beat Miami 3-1. I said this yesterday, and I think I'm going to keep following up on this. It seems like there are 4 good teams in the NL East. I don't know if they've got staying power. I don't know how long the Phillies are going to be around. I don't know how long the Marlins are going to be around. But as good as the Nats are playing and as good as the Mets are playing, it's fascinating to me that the Marlins and the Phillies are kind of keeping up. And kind of keeping pace. Tommy Joseph with a home run for Philadelphia. Seattle shut out Baltimore 10-0 as they hold the Orioles to 2 hits. Nelson Cruz with his 8th home run of the year. And Kyle Seager also homered for Seattle in that victory. Tampa Bay crushed Toronto. This is the second time the Rays have done this to the Blue Jays in Canada in this series. Chris Archer gets the win. He is now 3-4. Let's see. Bautista hit his 7th home run of the year for the Blue Jays. The Detroit Tigers beat the Minnesota Twins 7-2. Ian Kinsler homered, as well as J.D. Martinez homered for the Tigers in the victory. This was a really good game tonight. The Mets shut out Washington 2-0. I think a lot of people have been waiting for this series, as this was going down at Citi Field. Noah Syndergaard struck out 10, but so did Max Scherzer. Now has 30 strikeouts over his last 2 starts. Curtis Granderson and Michael Conforto both homered for the Mets, both solo shots as the Mets scored 2 runs.
That's the problem with Scherzer, is he's giving up too many home runs.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Syndergaard goes to 4-2. Scherzer down 4-3. Milwaukee topped the Cubs 4-2. Chris Bryant, his 7th home run of the year. And Kyle Hendricks took the loss. He is now 2-3. The Astros beat the White Sox in 11 innings. Evan Gattis, a 2-run homer for the Astros. Tyler White homered twice. Jose Abreu homered for the White Sox. They win 6-5 in 11 innings. Kansas City powered past Boston 8-4. Eric Hosmer hit his 7th. Yordano Ventura goes to 4-2. Hey, it's nice to see Boston without the big double-digit number on their box score.
They didn't even have double-digit hits.
No,
what's going on in Boston?
I know. It's a power outage in Boston, as they also commit 2 errors. Hey, somebody tell me if the Rockies are good, because I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop on this team. They are 20-18. They went to St. Louis, and St. Louis ain't any better than the Rockies' record. So if we consider the Cardinals good, the Rockies have got to be good. Rockies win at Busch Stadium 3-1. The only home run for the Cardinals came on a Randall Grichuk single. The Yankees fell to the Diamondbacks again. Arizona, a 5-3 victory. Just when things were looking up for the Yankees, they have dropped 2. Michael Pineda takes the loss. Zach Greinke with the win. He's 4-3. Jake Lamb with a home run. Starlin Castro homered for the Yankees. Chris Davis had 3 home runs for Oakland as they beat the Texas Rangers 8-5. Rougned Odor did play. All those suspensions are on appeal, so those guys did play. Adrian Beltre and Ian Desmond and Omar Meraza all homered for Texas in their victory as the A's win, though, 8-5. Dodgers beat the LA Angels 5-1. Corey Sager's a good player.
He is.
He's got 7 home runs on the season now. Jock Peterson homered twice, as the Dodgers beat the Angels 5-1. I don't live in Los Angeles. I've never lived in Los Angeles. But I'd love to know the dynamic. Is that a rivalry? Or is that like, no, that's Anaheim. That's not even in Los Angeles. It's way over there.
Yeah, I don't think it's like Cubs Sox or anything.
No, or Yankees Mets.
Yeah, I was just saying Yankees Mets, no.
Yeah. I know, like, my sister lives in L.A., and I tried to get that out of her. How do they feel about Anaheim? Anaheim's way out there. So it's like Disneyland and the Ducks. San Francisco beat the Padres 5-1. Matt Kemp homered for San Diego. So there you go. There's United Major League Baseball.
You want to hear a crazy stat about Clayton Kershaw?
Yes.
In his last 102 starts, So that's since 2013.
Jeez, that's a lot of starts.
Yeah, 102 starts. His ERA is 1.89.
Wow.
737 innings.
Wow, really? In his last 102 starts?
Yeah, I mean,
that seems like that would be impossible.
We have to be talking about...
That's Sandy Koufax numbers.
Yeah, we have to be talking about the best pitcher, starting pitcher in our generation.
Yeah, I would absolutely think that is. Those are Sandy Koufax numbers. If you look up Koufax's, ERA, I mean, it was incredibly low. It's why he's considered one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
And now, over his last six starts, he's had double-digit strikeouts in every game, and he's walked two hitters in those six starts.
That to me is amazing. In that you brought that up, and nobody knows that. Like, nobody is bringing that. People should be bringing that up constantly.
Yeah. He is. I mean, he's one.
That's fantastic.
He's up there with Randy Johnson. And
that is fantastic.
It's crazy.
I might have to dive into that.
I think he's 27?
Yeah.
Max?
Yeah, at least.
That's, we still have 5, 6, 7, 8 years of this guy being really good.
That's amazing. Ooh. That's a good stat. That's a good stat to find. All right. Again, on Twitter, not Derek tweets. We talked about Steven Adams earlier. Everyone is so hypersensitive these days. It feels like people will go out of their way to be offended. Feel bad for Adams. I said this earlier. I think Adams' apology is sincere. I really do think he did not know what he was saying. You know how you just get that feel? You just listen to a guy and you know he just chose the wrong words. And I think that I thought his apology was good, but again, I'm not part of the offending party, so I can't tell people if that's an effective apology or not. I can just tell you my observation of it. I thought it was sincere, and I thought he just said the wrong thing. I think it's easy. You just go to his teammates, and I think if his teammates are like, yeah, no, he's a really, really good dude. I think this blows over. I just honestly think he just misspoke in his interview with Chris Broussard about calling the Golden State Warriors monkeys chasing monkeys around. I think he just was a guy from New Zealand and didn't quite get the context. But I like the fact that he owned up to it. I mean, he didn't say, hey, you know what? He just said, no, I'm assimilating and I'm trying and I didn't say the right words and I deeply apologize and there's a line and I crossed it and I'm sorry. And then you just go from there. I do feel bad for Adams a bit. I hope this is all. They're playing game two on Wednesday. I hope it's resolved, and I hope people reach out, at least from the Golden State side of things. I hope they reach out if they do take his apology to heart, and they say that's fine. I hope they reach out to him and tell him so. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. I was going over the baseball, and I mentioned that Freddy Gonzalez had gotten fired by the Atlanta Braves, and he also heard his firing because there was a confirmation email that was sent to him that showed that he had a flight back to Atlanta on Tuesday as he was preparing for his team's game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's a tough way to realize that you've been fired. But the Atlanta Braves, let me make this clear, the Atlanta Braves have only themselves to blame for this start. I don't think Freddy Gonzalez deserved to be fired because he took a good Braves team and got them on a 9-28 start. The Atlanta Braves are a bad team because the Atlanta Braves have designed a bad team. They're not filling it with purposely bad players. They're filling it with young players that they're trying to give time to so that they can get experience, so they can see what they have. They're in a complete rebuilding mode. And Freddy Gonzalez was given a team in February that was to be rebuilt. And 9-28 is an awful record, yes. But you know what? It's not off the radar for what was expected for what he was trying to do. Look, when I was covering the Rockies in the early 2000s, all right, there used to be, we used to kid around about the Rockies. We used to call them Todd and the Toddlers and Kid Rocks and all of that because they were young guys. It was the Troy Tulowitzkis, the Seth Smiths, all of those guys that were coming up. There was a young core, and then there was Todd Helton. But you kind of knew the game plan. We're going to groom these guys and try to make them Major League Baseball players. Braves were doing that. 9-20. What did they expect to go? 30-5? Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio.
and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I am Tony D. Thanks for making us part of your night. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. And if you haven't liked our Facebook page, please do, Tony D Radio Show, where you can comment. You can see what we've got coming up on the show. NBA draft lottery that took place in Philadelphia with the number one pick in the upcoming draft in June, and the Lakers will pick second. And I look, Mitch Kupchak said after, he said, are we going to keep the pick? Are we going to trade it? We're not sure. Sometimes guys say that because it's all speak. I wonder how, on what percentage Mitch Kupchak is actually interested in trading the pick, actually trading the selection. I think it's less than 5%. I think if he can get Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram, which is what he's going to get, he's going to love it. The two guys in the draft, they'll go 1-2, and it doesn't. We don't know what order. Whoever Philadelphia takes, the Lakers will take the other guy. The draft really gets interesting with the Celtics because they've got obviously some room to trade and figure out whoever they take sets up the rest of the draft. It's a good draft. I mean, look, if you're just a casual college basketball fan and you just go, okay, look, I'm not a scout. I'm not going to pretend to be a scout. I watch college basketball. I'm not breaking down guys' dribble penetration and what they do defensively and how they pass. If you're that kind of guy, you'll recognize all the names. You'll recognize the names and you'll say, oh, yeah, I think that guy's a good player. That guy's a good player. That guy's a good player. That guy's good. Not all of them are going to turn out to be NBA pros. Some guys will get in the league and disappear. But it's still a draft. I think it should be a really interesting draft, especially after two. Once we get Simmons and Brandon Ingram settled into their new teams, we'll see where it shakes up. John Calipari of Kentucky. Listen, every time I talk about John Calipari, I feel like I need to have like sound bites from Glengarry Glen Ross with Alec Baldwin. Always be closing. Always be closing. A, always B, B, C, closing. Set of steak knives. Third place you fired. Because he's the ultimate salesman. He is one of the biggest sales guys in sports. He loves to sell you ideas. His latest is putting out on a blog that he wants to stay at Kentucky forever and make a run at John Wooden's championships. Like the Kentucky as a whole, winning more championships to beat UCLA. I don't know about you. I don't buy John Calipari staying at Kentucky forever. I think John Calipari would love to go back to the NBA, but go back to the NBA only under the right circumstances. I think he sees Billy Donovan, and I think he says, yeah, look at Billy Donovan. He got himself Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Yeah, that's great. I would leave college basketball if I could get that. I want to give it another try in the NBA, but I'm not going to the Memphis Grizzlies, right? I'm not going to a team that is, you know, the Orlando Magic. No, I want to get myself attached to a team that is really built to contend. Billy Donovan couldn't turn down the Oklahoma City Thunder job for Florida. He couldn't. You're giving Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, you have an opportunity to take over a team that only got rid of its head coach because they didn't make the playoffs when everybody was injured. Scott Brooks got himself a deal in Washington. But the Thunder, when they're healthy, are one of the top teams in the NBA. Billy Donovan had to leave Florida to take that job because that's what you're supposed to do. Unless you're really, really, really committed to a place like Duke, like Mike Krzyzewski. I don't know if Calipari is that guy at Kentucky. I might be wrong. I might be doing shows 20 years from now where I'm like amazed that old man Calipari is still at Kentucky. I don't know. But just I get a feeling from him that this is selling again. Hey, don't you worry. I know. I hear the rumors too. Don't you worry. I'm committed to Big Blue Nation. Now, he's phenomenal at what he does. And in the day and age of college basketball, you need a guy like Calipari like that. You need him. Because if you're going to swim in the McDonald's All-Americans, if you're going to swim in that one-and-done type of pool, you got to have a swimmer like John Calipari. He knows how to navigate that stuff. He has no problems walking into a living room and telling a kid exactly what he wants to hear. I'm going to make you a better NBA star. You come here, I will make you an NBA star. I don't mind that because he's not playing around. He is not trying to convince players that, oh no, come here for the long-term education and glory of playing here at this school for 4 years. He knows they're not. But I don't know about him not going to the NBA. I just can't imagine. If the right situation popped up, I think he'd go. There were all those rumors about him going to Cleveland. I don't think that was a done enough deal. I think if that was absolutely etched in stone, I think he would have taken it. I don't think he'd go to the Houston Rockets, and I don't think he'd go to teams that are rebuilding projects, because I don't think he has time for that. I don't think he sees his legacy as that. Right? Like, hey, come to the Orlando Magic and spend 5 years trying to build a winner. I don't think it's John Calipari. John Calipari knows every single year he can get the rush of competing for a championship. It's already built in Kentucky. You have to take that with you to the NBA and only take it to the NBA. People want to connect him to the Lakers job? He ain't going to the Lakers. No chance. No chance. If I'm wrong, I will absolutely admit it. But I guarantee you the Laker job is not appealing to him whatsoever. Why? Because the rush of winning a title every single year is not something you wean yourself off in rebuilding projects. Now, if he gets fired from Kentucky and the only place he can go is to the NBA to a rebuilding team, that's completely different. But if you're a choice guy and you are choosing where you want to be at any given moment, why would you give up the rush of March for rebuilding so that you eventually may have a rush in June? Why not try to do what Billy Donovan did? Donovan went from Florida to the NBA Western Conference Finals, and he's 3 wins away from an NBA Finals, all in a calendar year. John Calipari wants that deal. Do I believe he'll stay at Kentucky? No. Do I believe he'll run to the NBA at the first drop? No. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.